morning, good afternoon, guys. Welcome back to another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean. I'm joined by Mike.
Yo.
And Aaron. And today we are going to be talking about Mike's recommendation, Wild Wild West's starring Will Smith. And that's, yeah, Western starring Will Smith.
Are you going to forget Kevin Kline?
Yes, I am.
Oh. Well.
Directed by...
And Salma Hayek. And Kenneth Branagh. Really?
Nobody's going to this movie for them. They want to see Will Smith shoot people with guns.
They could just watch Men in Black.
Will Smith in a cowboy hat shooting people with guns.
We'll just superimpose a cowboy hat on him in Men in Black.
I'm sure plenty of other movies that he uses weapons.
After Earth.
I've never seen that. So.
Neither have I.
I tried watching it once.
Not good.
I made it like 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, this is dumb.
Yeah, I heard nobody liked that one. But anyway.
They had weird accents and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you want to take us away? Or...
I'm so bad at that. Let me get the synopsis up, because that's going to be the best thing I can do.
We follow Jim West. James T. West.
Is it really James T?
Mm-hmm.
When did they say his middle name?
Tiberius.
James
Tiberius West.
If you're right.
I don't think that's it.
I think it's right either.
All right, so the synopsis on Google is, when President Ulysses S. Grant, played by Kevin Kline, learns that diabolical inventor Dr.
Arliss,
I couldn't remember how you said that, Loveless, played by Kenneth
Branagh,
is planning to assassinate him. He orders Civil War hero James West and U.S. Marshal Artemus Gordon, also Kline, to arrest him. West's trigger-happy personality doesn't always mesh well with that of the thoughtful Gordon. But they manage to work together, and with the help of a mysterious stranger, West and Gordon close in on Loveless. The stranger being Selma
Hayek.
I already said it. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm forgetting what Selma Hayek, like, so she fools them throughout the movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, multiple times.
Yeah. What she says that Loveless captures, like, a bunch of scientists. And she claims that one of the scientists is her father, but it ends up being her husband at the end of the film.
Big twist.
Yeah. And, like...
Never saw it coming as a kid, though.
No.
And James West and Artemus Gordon are, like, trying to, like... It's basically, like, a love triangle type of thing, except she's not interested in either of them.
Yeah.
She's just, like, leading them on.
Yeah, so that she's very much late, so that they can get her to where she needs to be.
Yeah. I really like the opening sequence with him in the water tower with that.
Oh, I was gonna mention the sequence before the titles, where the scientist is getting run down by
by the buzzsaw. Yeah, that's
buzzsaw, and very interesting. I don't know, very intriguing as a kid watching this.
It's a good opener because it really grabs your attention and makes you go, oh, what the fuck is happening?
Right, yeah, because you don't know what it is
at
the start. Every time I watch an old movie for one of these, thank God they don't do credits like they used to.
Yeah.
They're fucking 3 minutes long.
Yeah, interspliced in with like footage from the movie.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was footage from the movie in this one, was it?
I couldn't tell if it was actually from the movie or if it was just, like, stock footage that they just, like, cut and spliced in. Like, maybe, like, test reels or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think it was anything specific from later scenes, but...
Yeah,
I don't know. This one always comes to mind. And, like, Space Jam, that intro is, like, super long. At least to me, it always felt long. But...
I'd love to make a movie where, like, the credit sequence, like, it starts winding down and you think it's done, but then, like, throughout, like, the whole first act, there's still just, like, names and, like, titles are, like, popping up the entire time, and everybody's, like, trying to, like, figure out, like, when are the credits going to be done?
Oh, yeah, like, instead of, So, like, make it, like, names popping up throughout the entire movie, and then just, like, no scroll credits at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just, that. Just, like, have literally everybody.
It's, like, first assistant director, like, popping up, like, at the climax of the movie. And then, like, goes away.
Yeah, like, best boy grip, like, popping up, like, right as, like.
Assistant to Mr. Smith. Like, popping
up. Yeah, there's, like, shit like that throughout the whole movie, and then it's, like, the ending of the movie happens, and then there's, like, not even, like, the end credit scenes again when it has like everything else. It's just like the movie just ends.
That's it.
With no scroll credits.
It just goes to black and then like lights come on.
That would be.
That's like a Mel Brooks like type shit that he would do.
That would be like tough though, like whenever you have to put the songs in, because that's like a paragraph worth of like text.
Oh, yeah. Because
they would just be like. Or then, like, the Sony logo or the Paramount logo just, like, popping up in the middle of a scene.
Or, like, the Georgia, like, logo.
Georgia Peach just, like, bam, right in the middle of a scene.
And they film all the scenes, like, so that there's enough negative space where they could just, like, flash it up there, like, while a character's
talking. They have got it planning.
Everybody be like, what the fuck is happening this entire movie?
Honestly, I think that's a genius idea. Someone should definitely do that in the movie.
Somebody should do that now.
Anyway,
but as you were going to say about the water tower
scene. Yeah, basically just James West hooking up with some girl, but obviously it's kind of like a cover because that's a good vantage point for like his mission that is happening, and the girl's just like, you're not paying attention to me at all, pretty much, and like a crate full of, or an entire like stagecoach full of nitroglycerin is just being like so radically
just parked perfectly to where the wheel hits the bottom of the, just the water tower
shaking like,
which is
on
like
the verge of explosion into this town.
Yeah, like, and how like dry rotted was that like leg of that it just goes it like snaps and I was like, what?
Yeah, just like collapses. I mean, we get I always forget that Artemis Gordon is in this scene too, because he's also like a master of disguise and deception. He's also a scientist, U.S. Marshal. This is before the formation of the Secret Service, which is what happens at the end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a U.S. Marshal, and he is like espionage spy. He's like Q and James Bond rolled into one character because he makes all these gadgets, but he also like does the spy shit.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, he shows up dressed as a woman and hypnotizes Bloodbath McGrath to
great character.
Yeah, he's a great character who to like give the information of where Arliss Loveless is, because everybody thinks he's dead because he was severed in half in the Civil War.
Artemis's outfit comes back to play later.
Oh yeah,
when he thinks he just wore the same dress.
Yeah,
same.
How odd that it's like the same exact woman.
Yeah, and it's a masquerade ball, so like you can't see that it's not him.
Yeah,
but Will Smith just thinks it's him the entire time.
I love his costume in that scene though, where he's like a lumberjack or like like a wild man.
Yeah. Yeah, and then after Will Smith does what he does. He's like, I am, like...
with a modified rope.
Yeah.
An elastic rope.
Good plan.
James West is just getting himself into trouble the entire movie.
Pretty much. I'm trying to think where to... So the whole thing with, like, them trying to find... Or capture Bloodbath, I guess, is what they're really.
I think what is happening is like there's a huge movements of like sects of like Confederate soldiers moving through. So like they're investigating why that's happening, and obviously a former like Confederate like general would probably know what that's about. So they're like looking into him, and then Jim West find anything out after everything happens and with the first set piece, he goes and visits the president. Like, I forget why he was going to visit him. Was he just like,
I think the president called for him to come in.
Okay. Yeah. Him and Gordon.
Yeah. Which they don't know that yet.
Yeah.
They didn't even know that they were their ticket. Well, yeah, they did. Because they were, yeah, they revealed to each other that they're undercover agents.
Yeah.
That thing.
Yeah, and then when they show up at the White House, or was it the White House that they were at?
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be the White House, yeah.
Okay. Artemis is dressed as Ulysses S. Grant when James shows up. And then Grant walks in. He's like, hey.
I like that scene a lot because they're like sussing each other out. And they're like, Jim is just like, who are you? And he's like, I'm the President of the United States. And then he like shoots. And he's like, I know you're not him. He's like, okay, I'm Artemis Gordon. How did you know? And he mentions that, what was it? The Harvard?
Yeah, the ring. The ring.
Oh, yeah, his ring. His class ring.
Yeah.
He just, like, knows where the president went to university. Because, you know, I guess you would know that.
I suppose that's a good thing to know.
I forget.
U.S. Marshal.
What's he tip them in on? Like, they have to go to Utah, right?
Yeah, to investigate this gathering. Because there's rumbling that there's going to be this huge reveal.
Right.
With, like, the Confederate soldiers.
Oh, the party? Yeah, that big party.
Yeah.
That's where Lovelace reveals himself to be alive.
Yeah.
Great villain. Like I love his performance.
I mean, the whole film is just so like campy.
It is.
And but just, like, you know, so self-aware. He every time that Kenneth Branagh is on the scene, he's just like chewing the scenery.
Yeah,
he's literally just like the most ostentatious, like.
But like when he first shows up and like everybody's like really quiet and he's like, oh yeah, remember me, left me for dead, like I honestly the first time I watched this movie I thought he was just gonna kill everyone in the room,
yeah,
just because they, you know, everybody left him for dead. And so
yeah, and he's gathering like investors to like invest in his like
world,
his ridiculous shit.
Yeah.
And he's gonna like take over the United States and like divvy it up to different like nations.
Yeah, this plan's got a very much out there.
Yeah, and obviously his demonstration is whenever he rolls that like tank, essentially that death machine, into the middle of all those Confederate soldiers, and it's just like
360. Just
what's the name of that one woman that's like
the
German woman.
Ms. Lippenreader.
Yeah, Ms. Lippenreader. I'm so stupid.
Well, there's Munisha. There's Ms. Lippenreader. Ms. Lippenreader, though, is the one that gets us every time.
Ow. Ms. Lippenreader. That's so stupid. It's so funny. I like didn't catch it until like I watched it recently, even before this rewatch.
Oh, yeah, we watched it at your house.
Yeah, yeah. And we were like, that's the first time I caught that fucking ridiculousness. Like all of the characters are named like this, like, basically, just like, the name of their character is what they do. I was just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Munisha, Lippenreader. There's a third one, and I don't remember what she is.
I don't know.
Maybe she doesn't have a name or isn't mentioned, but Lippenreader was the best.
Yeah. But jumping back a bit before they head to Utah, like Jim and Gordon are like examining the dead scientist's head.
Oh, right. That's one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
That is a man's head.
You think that like him being a war veteran would be more accustomed to this bullshittery that's happening.
Yeah. But I think James is just like, he's obviously probably seen death, but like,
why?
No, he, nobody like, kept somebody's head, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
But they play off well in that scene because it's like, for whatever reason, the very last thing that you see is like burned into your cornea or whatever
for many years.
Yeah.
Like, I guess maybe I just don't know. That's not true, right?
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's not true.
They probably believed that back in, like, 18.
Yeah, they might have. Or, you know. I don't know.
But,
I assumed it was bullshit, but, like, as a kid, I thought that was real.
And that's when he sees Bloodbath McGrath, because that's the last thing that they flip his head over and put his glasses on, and it clears the image up.
It's actually what the last thing we see before the credits is actually that shot that is in that his eye.
That's true.
Yeah, him taking the blade.
Yeah. He's just posed with it.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, what the fuck is that
thing? And from that, they read the invitation in his coat.
True. That's true.
Yeah, they...
From that.
Clear as day. Jesus, Deckard had to do enhance however many times to read something on him. What was he even trying to read? Fucking James West can just, like, read it right off a projection from some dude's eyeballs.
That's so
I forget how it's worded, but he... Like, it's blurry, and James is like, the lack of glasses, and he puts glasses on him. That's how he clears.
Yeah.
He puts his glasses on, which is, that's also just, like, the stupidest thing ever. Yeah. Like, I mean, going by the logic of the scene, it makes sense, but, like, first of all, the last image you see being burned into your eyes, and then it's like, oh, you'll need the glasses to clear it up.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, like, it's not, like, going, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's most ridiculous shit.
Yeah, no, I don't understand.
I mean, is it any more ridiculous than, like, things in other movies, though? Like, spy movies?
It depends.
Yeah.
It depends. James Bond never had some dude's head where he tried to project the last sound image out of his brain. But, I mean, I guess it fits with the time. Because you're like, oh, okay. Like, they did weird shit back then. Like, it's believable to an extent.
That they would do that, yeah.
I don't even know if it's supposed to be believable. It's just funny.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. And that's just the setting. I mean, I guess that's really just setting the stage for the rest of the movie with, like, the modified train. And then, obviously, the climax of the film with the giant mechanical spider. Spoilers, if you've never seen the movie, there's a giant mechanical... I'm sure that they marketed...
What was the spider supposed to be for? It was supposed to be for another movie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think...
It was an idea for another movie.
It was an idea for a Superman movie.
Yeah, that was supposed to be...
It was a giant mechanical
spider.
Wasn't
it the one with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, because Kevin Smith wrote that one.
Yep.
He was supposed to fight a giant mechanical spider.
Yeah, giant mechanical spider, yeah. I don't know if it was the same, like, steampunk look.
Right, right.
But it was the same exact, like, premise.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I'm sure they just reused the concept art, and they're like, hey.
Yeah.
Roll with it. Because it was probably the same designer, honestly. So.
Probably.
But, yeah.
They take the train to get to the... party, don't they?
Yeah, they're on the train. They tell the
and then
conductor
some hikes stowaway, isn't she? Or do they rescue her from the?
They rescue her from the
one party.
One party.
Yeah, but they're like, okay, go away now. And then she hitches a ride on.
Oh yeah, they leave her. Yeah, they leave her at a train station.
Yeah,
and they're both infatuated by her. They're like staring out the window at her. But
and then she shows up, and they're both like pull weapons on her, and then they're just like, oh, it's you. Like, how did you... Oh, she, like, flies in through the roof.
That's, oh, yeah. And James is just like, oh, okay.
I like the scene where their first fight, like, they're first on the train, and Gordon is basically like, you're living in the past, like, this is the future, like, all this tech shit.
Yeah.
And they're, like, fighting, and he, like, hits a button, and he gets, like, flipped to the underside of the... Like, the pool table sinks into the ground and flips over, and he's just, like, 2 inches away from the tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff's great.
And wasn't Artemis knitting, like, a bulletproof vest
at the time? Yeah. And he was, like, chainmail.
Yeah.
And then he hits a button, and he, like, he's in the chair, and he flips over, and he's like, okay.
Maybe we should discuss this, like, men or something.
I've been given a new perspective. He's, like, literally hanging on the bottom of a train.
Yeah. Not sure why that lever's there for James to mess with to flip him over, but whatever.
Yeah, it's an old mechanical train. I'm sure there's a bunch of weird shit.
I mean, I feel like he designed that train.
Yeah. Well, yeah, most certainly. He's, like... a genius.
Yeah. Is it at this point? Yeah, because what's her name? I don't even remember the girl's name.
I don't remember
her. Yeah.
Bonnie?
I don't think that's it.
Whatever.
Valentine? I think that's her.
Mulva?
Vicky Valancourt?
Yeah, Vicky Valancourt. It would be better Adam Sandler was in it.
Rita Escobar.
True.
Once I heard it or okay. saw it, I was like, okay.
Could you imagine him as the villain?
Yes.
As Loveless?
Yeah.
Oh! Here comes Jane West after me! No, it would be awful.
The one, whenever they're at the party and, like, Loveless reveals himself and, like, James West, like, walks up to him. I mean, it's so strange because it's, like, he's obviously the bad guy. So, like, they're just, like, openly, he's, like, openly giving away that he's, like, at the party. It's, like, oh, okay. And they're, like, shit-talking each other. They're like, making jokes about him being black and then him being, like, half a person.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, oh, God, this scene is so cringy.
I love it, though. It's cringy, and I get that, like, seems like that just aren't...
They don't... Basic. Yeah, I'm not sure they hold up.
Yeah.
But they're made in a different time, for sure.
But with my nostalgic goggles, it's like, it's so funny. I don't care.
Yeah, and then, so, obviously, James is, like, being hanged because he
right.
sexually assaults that woman, thinking that it's Artemis Gordon.
But there's one line about something about being able to talk to Africa.
Yeah. He's using her breasts like bongos or some shit like that.
So after, I'm trying to think after that, they find out where they have to go after that.
Yeah.
And it's they come upon that the wreck or the murder scene from the 360 tank thing.
Mm-hmm.
It might have a name. I don't remember.
I don't remember if they gave it a name.
And then from there, they're traveling, I think, to Utah. Somewhere they find out they have to go to damn Utah. I don't
know. Yeah. The completion of the Transcontinental Railroad.
Right.
Is, President Grant is going to, like, solidify that, like, joining of the trains. Which, did you know, when, during the construction of the Transcontinental Railroad, both, like, the east and the west were racing towards the center.
Right. And then a giant mechanical
spiders. Yeah, yeah. And then they literally, like, passed each other because they were, like, trying to get there first. They passed each other, so they had to, like circle back and meet at the point.
Oh, my. So somewhere in here, Loveless catches up to them
Well, he's on his tank, and he he's using the. What is he? Yeah. So they're on the train catching up to him, and they go through a tunnel, and his tank like can extend like 12 feet, 20 feet into the air,
straight out of Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. So the train passes underneath them, and then it sinks back down onto the tracks and is chasing them.
If we're chasing Loveless, how is he behind that?
And obviously they capture them. They use the sleeping gas.
Rita does.
Yeah,
because she's scared or whatever.
Yeah.
She thinks it's a bomb, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think, Gordon is, like, explaining the different gadgets, and he's, like, saying, like, they once poisonous gas whenever... I don't think that they say that the eight ball is a bomb until the end, because whenever Jim shows up and he throws it and he's like, which one did you throw? He's like, the eight ball. He's like, get down.
Yeah.
But so sleeping gas, like, they get knocked out and they're captured and they get the giant metal dog collars placed on them, which they found on the scientist.
Right.
And they're like, oh, fuck, what's this?
Yeah.
And they're like in a 4x4 like square. They're like, we can't move.
Yeah,
and I think it's James that gets out. He's like, "Don't get out!" And then
he's like cocky, but he's like, "See, nothing happened."
Yeah, and then
the two buzzsaws. Yeah, the machine starts to like fire up.
Yeah, it's like the most ridiculous theme punk shit, and then it fires. Does it only shoot one or two?
It shoots one for each one.
Yeah. So two. I knew that it shot two, but I wasn't sure if it shot one, and then whenever Gordon's like, run, and then it shot a second one.
Yeah, I think that is how it happened. Yeah.
But that's like my favorite scene in the entire movie.
I was going to say this probably is one of the best sequences of the movie.
Yeah. Chasing
through the cornfield, and then...
How are they, like, first of all, how are they faster than these, like, magnetized... buzzsaw, yeah. Just like floating through the sky.
I mean, yeah, it's completely ridiculous. but
yeah, it's a great scene. They're like making like crop circles in it. They're like running by each other, like you'd think that like whenever they would like run past each other, like the one following the other one would just go like and then like cut their head off.
Oh yeah,
but I guess it's like specifically magnetized to the helmet or the neck brace.
Oh, right.
Or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I never really thought that.
I mean, it you're not supposed to think about it. But that's just something that popped into my head. I was like, oh, wait, you'd think that it would like just be any magnetic attraction that would like do that. But they get out of it by jumping into a cavern, and the two buzzsaws just like, whenever they hit each other, they blow up too.
I was going to bring that up. Like, why they blow up?
Yeah, metal. You'd think that they would just like tink and then like fall or something.
Like they would just lose momentum, and I mean, sure, there's going to be wreckage, but like they're not going to explode.
Yeah, they would be like cutting into each other.
Yeah,
like, they'd be like, boom.
Yep, and they just drop. They'd probably kill them anyway because it'd drop right now.
Maybe. that's why they had to explode.
They had to explode,
or else they would have just killed the characters.
We just figured out how it should have ended.
Yeah. Let's get to animating now. but then how did they get the braces off? They're like one hooked to each other.
One of the funniest things is he's like, oh, my toolkit. And then he ends up finding it like way after the fact, and he's like, oh, it's in my pocket.
Yeah.
He makes a joke about James makes a joke about Artemis just using a pocket because he has like a little gun in his sleeve and
everything. Yeah, he's all this like spy tech.
Yeah.
They get unhooked from each other's necks, but then one of them, I forget which one, gets like hooked to their like belt buckle.
I think it was James hooked on to Artemis's, or I can't remember.
Yeah, just like, because they're like prying themselves away from each other, and they're like running in the opposite directions as fast as they can. Like flying backwards. Those are some strong ass magnets, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, you could never get away fast enough if they were that strong.
Yeah. Yeah, their necks would like break in half if that happened. But it doesn't matter. It's a funny scene.
It's funny, yeah.
But yeah, I think it's Gordon that gets his head like to James's like belt buckle, and they're like, "Whenever you're telling your grandkids about this story,
leave this part out."
I forget exactly how they get them separated, though. I think it's like a foot knife, shoe knife, something like that.
Well, that gets stuck on it because James doesn't. I don't think he knows about the foot knife.
Oh yeah, and then he puts it on his Gordon's neck brace, and he like can't unbrie his foot from it because there's a knife in it. And he's like, "Why can't I get my foot off?" He's like, "Oh, I may have modified your shoes when you were sleeping."
Yeah. What? They fall in water somewhere, and that's when the toolkit like floats in the water. I think that's eventually how they get it off. I don't know.
Yeah. But obviously they may have to make camp for the night because they're in the middle of the desert. And then we have that nice foreshadowing scene. Yeah. And then like this is whenever they finally like really connect with each other. And they're like they were obviously at odds the entire movie until this scene.
Right.
Where the tarantula is being taken down by the hawk or the wasp.
Yeah,
I said hawk. I think it's some shit like that. But James like reveals that like the Confederacy like killed his entire family or something like that, and like it was Lovelace's fault.
Right.
So like he's getting revenge in a way by like confronting them, and you know they bond over lizard roasts it over a fire.
And sounds yummy.
Yeah. And the next morning, they're just, like, walking through the desert. And Jim is like, why are you still carrying that thing around? He's like, well, there's going to be tons of practical uses for it for me. If I, like, get back to the train, I can deconstruct it. And then it just goes, boom. And he's like, flying with it, like, you'd think he'd let go, but he's, like, flying, like, across the desert. And he lands against the Transcontinental Railroad. And they're like, well, now we know where to... Where we're going.
It was like buried under the sand, right?
Yeah, which is strange.
It's like, what's the train gonna do? I mean, probably push the sand out of the way, yeah. I guess, but
it's a heavy beast, probably can just roll right over it.
Yeah, but that takes them to like Lovelace's secret cannon
his secret base. It's like in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, canyon is what I was trying to say, and I said cannon.
Cannon. Which they're like, oh, this, you know, we'll be able to take care of them, whatever. But then the giant mechanical spider rises up, and you'd think that whenever they would, like, they're cresting the mountain.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think that Lovelace and, like,
would
see them, but they don't.
I always thought they do. No. I always thought that as a kid. I'm like, how do you not see two men standing in the desert?
Oh, yeah. And then first, like, it's like, oh, it's just a spider. It can't do anything. And then it shoots.
It's got two big boulders. Like, there's not enough room between.
So it just turns and blows one of them up.
Yeah, just with a rocket or whatever.
They're blows like... all three of them up. The big, like, stone pillars are like, oh, well, he'll never get to town or whatever because it's blocking his way. And you go... blows them all up.
Man, I forget what they say about that, but anyway, they find their train there. That's you know how Lovelace got there. And then Artemis talks about his flying invention
because
this is before
the Wright brothers existed and created the airplane.
Before the existence of airplanes. Actually, and somebody did kind of invent that, didn't they? Like, a similar contraption to what he used.
What, like the bicycle thing?
Yeah, like, wasn't there something similar to that?
Yeah, I'm
like,
sure before? Somebody used.
Yeah.
Made that before. Before the Wright brothers created the airplane.
I thought it was, like, loosely based on something that actually happened.
It might have been, like, Da Vinci's flying machine.
That might be what I'm thinking of, yeah. Yeah, he builds that. I don't know if he had the pieces already.
He just builds a flying machine.
But they... we might be skipping over something. I can't remember. But anyway, they fly down.
Yeah, Gordon impersonates the president.
Oh.
Yeah, because...
right.
Because, like, the president is, like, going to nail in that golden railroad spike. And obviously it keeps falling out because there would be humongous tremors of a mechanical spider flying or, you know, coming to them. But like everybody else runs away and he's just like, oh, Arliss, it's you. And he's like, oh, nice to see you again, Mr. President. And then Gordon walks in, is impersonating them. And what does he say? Shoot them both.
Yeah. shoot them both in the head or something.
Yeah. Well, they get captured and taken on. I forget exactly. And then James West is like, he like infiltrates the spider.
Yeah.
And then there's a huge battle there.
Where's the flying machine coming? I forget.
I thought that was at the very end after he rescues Gordon and the president from Arliss's compound.
It could be. I don't know.
I think that's the very end of the movie because they like have to fight it and they're like, oh, remember that thing?
Okay. Yeah,
because then they're dropping like bombs on it and stuff like that from above, and they crash on it.
Yeah, I started watching it. I've seen it a million times, so I didn't figure it was a big deal. But I fell asleep towards the end.
Can't make it through one magnificent Western.
I can't make it through any movie.
Except Spider-Man.
6. Supposed to be 7. I didn't go the other night.
Yeah, but that scene is whenever, like, so they get captured, Gordon and the president get captured and then taken to Loveless's base. Basically, they're like going to have the president like sign over like the territory of the United States to those people, to like all of the other people.
Yeah.
And that's whenever Jim is like, he takes a page out of Gordon's book and dresses up as like a belly dancer
Yeah.
and then comes in and is like trying to distract them. Throws the eight ball, which explodes, and then he liberates both the president and Gordon, and then that's whenever they have their giant spider fight at the end of the film with
Yeah,
the flying machine.
right. Yeah, I totally blanked on that whole. Like, the spider was in the movie, and I thought like it just happened.
Yeah, that was it. Yep. And then there's a bunch of action at the end. I think, Gordon like shoots Loveless's like his like oil thing, and he's like, after all
It was like a
that, you missed.
hydraulic thing.
Yeah, his hydraulic. He's like, you missed. After all that, you missed. And he's like, oh, I didn't miss. And then his legs just like stop
Well, he's in
working.
like a mini spider
Yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, there's four like really long like legs.
Yeah.
Then they all fail because the hydraulic fluid's just flooding out of
And he's
it.
just a torso on the floor.
Yep.
Yeah, he has like a block on him too. I wonder how they film that with the
That's a good question. I always wondered that. Like, even when I was a kid, I was like, how did they do it? I was like, is that guy really like not have like
Really?
a Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I mean, like, there are people like that who like don't have their legs, so it's like cut
Yeah.
off like right there. But yeah, like when I was a kid, I wondered that. I was like, oh, I was like, does that guy not really have legs? And then when I got older and realized it was Kenneth Branagh, which kudos to Kenneth Branagh. You
He
never know that was Kenneth Branagh unless you watch unless you,
disappears into that for sure.
yeah, like unless you like read the credits, you're like, there's no fucking way that's Kenneth Branagh. No way, no way in hell. But sure shit, it is.
Because I don't think that like the green screen technology was like advanced. I mean, you have the giant CGI mechanical spider, but like I don't know if they'd be able to like even then like he'd have to be like in a very strange position and it wouldn't look natural on the camera. So
I'll say this though about the giant mechanical spider. It's all daytime shots of it. Looks really good.
well,
Because daytime CGI back then sucked ass.
I think what gets away with it though is because it's metallic. So it's already shiny, which was like CGI back then was like really glossy and
Yeah.
shiny. So like in the daytime, it makes sense that it would look that way
Yeah.
because the sun is like, refracting off of
Oh
all of
yeah.
the.
And I think it works because it's a mechanical object, not an organic object.
Yeah.
Because like that shit sucks in the daytime. Like there's a reason why the night shots in Jurassic Park look so much better than the daytime shots, is because they you can obscure them
Yeah, you
with
can hide.
like
And they
darkness.
also got away with it in Jurassic Park because it was raining, which
Yeah.
also.
No, yeah, that's what I meant. You can obscure it with weather and all that.
Yeah.
Another thing, the Godzilla 98 movie, you can obscure some of those imperfections with the rain and, shit like that,
Yeah.
debris. But yeah, like daytime CGI back in the 90s was not good.
Yeah. But they go in, they rescue everybody, they kill all of Loveless's henchmen one by one. I think doesn't Gordon like kill one of the girls and she like falls off the
Something,
Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah,
Oh,
so
yeah, he lands the machine on there and they knock one of them off.
yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I think it's Munitia because
Yeah,
she's
because
like
she's like
readying like a or she's readying like a rocket launcher or
Oh yeah,
something.
doesn't Loveless he's like Munisha, or like yells her name or something.
Yeah, as
Yeah.
she like falls fucking off of a like 18-story tall mechanical spider.
90 feet or something.
Yeah,
I think
they did say, well, they said it, but I think it was James or something like guesstimating how big it was.
Right,
Yeah.
yeah. I remember a number being thrown out
He
there,
said,
but
I think he said like 70 or 80,
yeah.
but it looks bigger than that.
Yeah.
But this like another great part of the movie is whenever like they're hanging off of the like after Loveless's hydraulics are like completely destroyed and he's like back. He's basically luring James to like the edge so that he can kill him. Mm-hmm. And he like flips something, and then like they're like hanging off of the, or what? He's still attached to his thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, basically like you can kill both of us. You can let go, and you can both die, or you know, I'm gonna live too. And I forget what happens. He like pulls like a connector on his chair, and he just like falls off. He Darth Maul falls.
I think he did it. He's back in his chair, isn't he?
I think he is in his chair.
Because like he pulls the lever to make the wheels go back, or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, he gets back in his chair.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He crawls over.
Yeah, to his he chair. Crawls over and gets back up in his chair.
Yeah, and he. That's it. That's.
And I forget what James is holding on to, but he finds something to grab.
Whenever he grabs onto the dead guy that he pushed out of the spider before. He wraps a chain around the dude's neck and pushed him out.
That's right.
Right.
And yeah, he's like hanging on to his boots. He has like a metal plate in his head.
Yeah, yeah. I knew there was something like kind of...
Because he hits him with a shovel and he customized, doesn't like... react to it because he just has a metal plate in his head.
He must be from Tatooine.
Maybe. Whenever the microwave turns on, he pisses himself and forgets who he is. But yeah, they save the day, and then Rita informs them that the scientist that they were after isn't actually her father, it's her husband. And then Ulysses S. Grant is like, you guys did great work. You're going to keep working together because I'm creating the Secret Service, and you are going to be the first two members of the Secret Service. And he steals her train to leave. And he's like, can we have our train? He's like, how else am I going to get back to Washington? And then they take the giant mechanical spider at the end of the movie, which I think is a great shot because they're like bouncing. Like you think that they're on horses.
Right.
And then the camera pulls back and they're on the giant fucking spider.
Yeah, it's a good
like,
shot.
Walking to Washington, allegedly. Yeah. And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then there's a giant musical sequence at the end of the film, which is great. Will Smith.
Was it just the video for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Wild West. Yeah. Great, great Western movie. Very... atmospheric, and it's just like so campy. I want to examine where this movie failed that like Men in Black was such a success.
Yeah, that's what I never understood,
because this was like critically like panned and it was like flop.
Yeah,
and, like people really don't like it. I mean, people still don't like it. We all like it because I feel like that just stems from us being so young when it came out.
That's why, like, I'm so used to getting shit for liking this movie that I forgot that you guys do like this movie.
Yeah. So I'm sure, like, plenty of people who are watching this are just going to be like, this movie fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Why are you defending this piece of shit? But I really enjoy it.
I put it, honestly, on the same level as Men in Black.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's just good.
I'm not sure. Is it, like...
It's better than R.I.P.D.
Is it like, I don't think that movie. Is it because, like, the characters aren't as good? I mean, like, obviously Will Smith is there.
Yeah.
Is it because, like, he's, like, playing the same character as Jay in Men in Black?
They are.
Is it because Tommy Lee Jones isn't, like, Calvin Klein isn't as good as...
I think he's fucking...
Calvin
Klein. I did say Calvin Klein. Alan Klein.
I think he's pretty hilarious.
Like, he's my favorite part of the movie.
Oh yeah, as much
along
as
with Kenneth Branagh as Loveless. I think those two are like what elevate the movie for me, because they're just like playing these, like Loveless especially is just like such a fucking character.
Yeah, he's so over the top.
Yeah, he's great in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't understand like why this didn't like blow up. Like,
I remember at its release, it was just as big. Like, because I remember the Men in Black was first, right? 97, and then this was what, 99?
Yeah, I think this was 1999. It's like right on the verge of the millennium.
Yeah, 99. Like, I remember all the toys for Men in Black being there. Like, it was a big thing in, like, my kid group. thing, and then it was like the same anticipation, like we all wanted the toys for Wild Wild West, and then like I don't know, it's probably a few years after that when I found out people didn't like the movie.
Is it like because it's like more mature, maybe? Like it's not like for kid audiences? Because it's like realistic violence. Whereas in Men in Black, it's like aliens exploding into goo.
Right.
Like maybe that's what it is. Like might be parents didn't want to like take their kids to like some halfling person like murdering their friend and like throwing them in the river. Like maybe something like that.
Was he really his friend though?
I mean, he was his ally at least before he turned on him.
I can't really attest to the why it flopped, just like why people don't maybe like it as much.
Yeah. I wish that we had somebody with that perspective. So that
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we all love the movie.
It might just be the fact that it's a Western. Like, I would say that anyone close to our generation, like, we don't have the love for Westerns.
Well, yeah, by this point, the Western genre died its slow, painful death.
Yeah.
And there's still, like, a good handful of Westerns that come out every
now and then. Yeah.
Like, I'm a fan of, like, Western movies.
Yeah, I'm just saying in a general...
Yeah. It's definitely, like, I think that, like, maybe with, like, Star Wars, the release of Star Wars, and, like, maybe our generation just likes sci-fi more.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. Like, it just wasn't the right kind of,
like, I mean, it wasn't, because Men in Black is like, I like aliens more than giant mechanical spiders.
Right.
That must be it. I don't know. I wish it would have done better. I would have loved to have seen like a trilogy like the Men in Black series. That would have been great.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, so I don't know if you know this. This is based on an old TV show.
Yeah, I do remember hearing that. I don't know anything about it.
But... Yeah. So, like, Loveless is, like, the main villain of that. So, like, him being... Because you're not going to, like, bring him back from that.
No.
Like, dropping, like, 200 feet into a cavern.
Yeah.
Like he's dead. So, it would be interesting
to see... Of course, in this world...
he comes back with, like...
Metallic arms.
Yeah, just like half of his head.
He caught himself with his arms, but he broke his arms off or something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you could ride it anyway.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to, but like I would have wanted to see like where they go from there, assuming that they don't use Loveless as the villain again. Because with Men in Black, you have like literally the no end to your imagination of like any kind of alien that you can create to be the villain. But, yeah. It's a little more grounded when it's, like, supposed to be post-Civil War United States.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're but they pulled their liberties with
well,
Artemis's inventions. Yeah. And...
Like, you can get a little crazy with it, but...
Yeah.
Like, you can't...
You just make him invent all kinds of shit that comes after.
Yeah, he creates Ultron. and their villain, they have to fight Ultron.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's my pitch.
Kevin Kline should have been.
We're going to do a 20-year-old reboot of
Wild Wild West with James Spader as Ultron.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to canonize Wild Wild West into the MCU. I don't see this failing at all.
What are you, Patton Oswalt, telling the opening of Star Wars Episode 7 is a filibuster?
Yeah, that's exactly what I am.
Hand down, Ultron's being constructed by Artemis Gordon.
Wave one.
James Spader awakes.
But where am I?
They needed artificial intelligence, though, to construct him.
Well, they're just going to use that scientist's head.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hook his brain up to a bunch of electrodes and everything.
Yeah,
they'll but have James Spader's voice.
They'll have all of the murdered scientists, like, heads in a jar. And then, like, all of their, like, consciousness, like, synced into the
They're robot. Gonna build that machine from Young Frankenstein that they, like, meld brains with, but they're just gonna, like, put them all into one thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's gonna be, like, the inception of Ultron.
Oh my god.
We've done it.
We've done it now.
Watch out, Marvel, we're coming for your job.
All right, so we can make this movie and we'll do the credits sequence.
yeah,
where it's just the credits, the whole fucking movie.
Except if it's only like four people working on it, like we just have to like put our names up.
That would be
the running joke throughout. It's like the same four names, the entire film.
So it would have to just be different jobs with like one of our names on it or something, you know.
All right, that's funny.
I think that's about
Wild West.
That was a Wild West.
Rating time.
It was a wild ride.
Wild ride.
That is right.
Am I going first?
Mike, yes, you go first.
I'm trying to think how I guess I rate it with nostalgia goggles. I just love this movie. 8 out of 10.
I think I'm gonna go. I'm struggling with myself. I'm having an internal battle.
Yeah.
Whether or not I want to rate it 6.5 or 7 out of 10, because, like, I understand the flaws of the movie.
Yeah.
I can see where people are coming from most of the time, but I'm gonna land on 6.5 because, like, I think that the biggest set piece in the movie is them being like chased by the magnet buzzsaw. That like is sells the movie for me by itself. So like, despite everything else, I love it. The soundtrack's great too.
Yeah,
we didn't even bring that up, but that, like, whenever you hear that, it's like something that's instantly recognizable. When you hear something, you're like, oh, that's exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my rating.
I am 6.5 on this one. Yeah, for the same reasons.
I let 9-year-old me rate it.
Yeah, exactly. You got to see some.
Like, hikes. I seriously loved the movie. That's a good.
You got to see some hikes, but 8 out of 10.
8 out.
All right, there you have it. Our spoiler discussion of Wild Wild West. We have another recommendation coming to us.
No way,
Aaron.
All right,
now's the time.
All right, I gotta do some thinking here.
Now's your time.
Do,
and don't anybody out there tell me that Will Smith's Wild Wild West was not a hit. We still play that at Walmart.
Really?
Yeah. Every once in a while.
Bo and Antonio.
That's right.
Playing them bangers.
That's right.
Let's see here.
Bo and Antonio.
It's a Bo show.
This is a hard decision. I'm half tempted to go into the archives. And see and pull something very strange out.
I love strange.
Hmm.
Whether it be doctor or not.
I'm trying to think of something obscure that I could watch over and over again. This is tough. This is tough. Because I'm not going with my instinctive choice this time.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's too tacky. And just slapped on. So hold your thoughts.
Literally, okay. Put that in there.
Because I know I have some semblance of a list. Fuck it, we're watching Superbad.
What'd you say?
I can't find my list, so we're going to be watching.
Do you not remember the name of the movie?
Uh-huh.
Do you not remember the name of the movie?
What movie?
The one that you wanted to.
No, I was going to go. I was going to look at my list and pick from that. I just made the decision right now. We're watching Superbad.
I don't understand at all.
I'm pretty sure it's on the list. But
what list? That's Nebula's list.
You just made the list. I have a list of. I was gonna go off of my list of favorite movies and pick something. I'm pretty sure this is on the list.
Well, if it isn't, it is now.
It is now.
And now it's crossed off the list.
We're watching Superbad.
All right, Superbad. I've only seen that movie once.
Favorite of mine.
I mean, it's good. So I've only seen it once.
It only took 15 minutes to make that decision.
3 hours later.
I'm not doing the outro today.
Are you too tired now?
This was bullshit.
Well, if you don't want to be blind, if you don't want to be spoiled for Superman, watching it 2 weeks from now, watch it so you're not spoiled, and don't forget to like and subscribe, all that fun stuff, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Goodbye.